Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and we are back for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, here always with the beautiful and talented Sherry Pang. Sherry, how are you?
Pretty good, Jason. How are you?
Not too bad. Did you have anything interesting happen this past week?
Yeah, nothing but readings. I've just been busy and life has been really well. I feel very blessed and literally thank God and that, everything's going okay and, continuing to progress into, just learning and just being able to share what I know. And I don't have any complaints, Jason. Really don't. How about you?
Oh, just the usual. You know, my life is pretty boring. I just work, and I've been pretty lazy over the weekend. I just sit in my room, watch movies, and eat Mexican food. That's pretty much what my life consists of. But I suppose there are more. I suppose there are other lives that aren't that interesting.
Well, Jason, I hope you can join me at the Bigfoot Festival this coming Saturday. I'm going to be doing live feed. So, yes, we're going to be live on air. We got a couple guys that are really big in the well-known in the Bigfoot arena and doing some research and wrote books. And I'm just really, really excited. And we will be in the company of our last host last Sunday, which was Clyde Lewis. So Clyde Lewis is going to be there, and we're going to go and talk about anything from the paranormal to Bigfoot.
Yes, that'll be interesting. Hopefully I can make it. I'm not sure if I'm working, but I could be. But that's the life of working in a laboratory. You just work all the time. So, but anyways,
okay.
Hey.
We're going to go and start out. We got some couple new guests the first time. As a matter of fact, I was being interviewed on their radio show, Paranormal Night Stalkers. I had to think about it here. Paranormal Night Stalkers, Joel and Michael, fantastic guys, been in the arena for a long, long time. They go through they're very interesting guys. When I say interesting, they want to know about scientifically what makes these, if there's any ghosts. They look at it from a scientific arena, and I got to have to say, Joel's a little bit, he has some comes in with some gifts himself. So I'm just very flattered to really get a chance to know these guys. They're really down-home folks. I really like them, and I really appreciate for them to have me guest on their show. Interesting, because my voice does not sound like what it was on their show. It was on my iPad, and it sounds that the sound recording is so different. But anyway, we want to get them on and get them on the show with as much airtime as possible.
Awesome. Well, as you know, I'm kind of a skeptic when it comes to some of the paranormal, and I'm looking forward to hearing a technological perspective on some of the things. And I see there's two numbers in queue, so we'll go ahead and bring them both on at the same time right now.
Okay.
All right.
Hello.
I guess we're on. Is it unmuted? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I got you.
Hello.
Hey, sure. This is Michael.
Hey, Michael. Where's Joel?
I should be here. I don't know if it's coming
there
through.
You go. I hear your voice. I recognize your voice. Hey, it was great to have you on your show. Really, really was nice. And when I played it back, I do have to say, like I just said, my voice sounded so different than it is when I'm on radio. I was talking through the iPad.
It's different
and it was
filters
really
and
weird.
Everything.
Like, is that me?
Yeah, and I put everything through different filters and different editing, so kind of compress and bring out. I try to make sure everything is very clear that's being said. So that's always, it always sounds different. When you're, of course, listening back to yourself, it always, do I really sound like that?
It took me a long time being comfortable. It took me a long time being comfortable hearing my voice. I hate it.
I don't think there's anybody that likes the sound of their own voice.
So, Sherry, kind of gave you a brief intro. If you guys want to, I guess, one at a time or however you want to do it, just kind of tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do. And I'm looking forward to hearing about the, you know, some of the technological sides of ghost hunting and your personal experiences doing investigations. And so I'll just kind of hand the floor over to you guys, whoever wants to start.
Okay. Michael, okay. Do you want to go first? Or?
Yeah, I'll go first. Right. I have a medical background. I was a paramedic. And then later I worked in an intensive care unit as a cardiac care technician. I read EKGs, you know, for the changes to the nurses. And, of course, they call the doctors or I call the doctors. And that's how we, you know, we take care of things like that. So I had to learn a lot of anatomy and physiology, stuff like that, you know. And in the course of doing that, even though I'd always had interest in the paranormal and had read many, many books, I read books on the lot of voices, you know, on the beginnings of EVP years before I'd ever heard one, because the analytical part of my brain said, it's not possible. You know, you have to have a voice box and a mouth and, you know, you have to have lungs and move air to make sound. The theory of making sound and voice is incredibly intricate. Because you're also using your brain, you know, because that's where the signal comes from to make the sounds and to put the words together. And so I'm thinking, no, that's not possible. It'll never work, you know. And that was just one aspect of it. There were many other things. That's how I looked at it. I said, you can't have a disincarnate intelligence, because once the brain stops functioning, you know, there's no more electrical stimulus in the brain and the body dies and the spirit goes. I'm a fairly religious person. I mean, you know, the spirit goes to wherever you believe the spirit goes, heaven or whatever your, you know, your religion tells you what happens is what happens. And that's pretty much it, until I saw some things that I couldn't explain. I saw a full body apparition of a woman walked right through a wall in the hospital I worked at. And I saw a shadow person, and I wasn't the only one that saw it. One of the nurses I was working with turned sheet white. His name was Bill. And I said, Bill, what's wrong? He said, there's a 7-foot shadow in that room with a top hat on. And I knew by the description, even though I didn't look yet, I knew what it was describing, because I, of course, I'd read about shadow people and knew what the literature says about the man with a top hat is a classic figure, sort of a shadow man. So I looked back around the corner, and sure enough, it was standing there. And then, you know, the part of your brain that says this isn't possible is fighting with the part of your brain that says, yeah, but I'm looking right at it, kind of thing. And so I really, even though I had always had interest in red things, that's what I got into the more. Okay, I got to look at this myself and figure it out, because I've got to know. And that's how it started for me.
Michael, do you believe that shadow people are harmful?
They give off a sense of foreboding. I don't know if they're harmful and in close contact with that one. Because when we saw it, I got up and walked toward it. It was in an empty ICU room. There was all the equipment in the bed, but there was no patient in the room, you know. And so I got up from my desk at the monitors, and I started walking toward this thing. And it did feel, like I said, it felt boding. I don't know that it felt evil or anything like that. But you know, there was just something about it. The hair on the back of your neck kind of stands up, and you get this kind of a fight or flight kind of thing kicked in a little bit. Part of me said run, and part of me said, no, I'm going to look, see what's here. And it ended up, that room, I actually wound up doing an investigation in that room for the hospital. They had to go all the way to the high, you know, the director of the hospital to get permission for me to actually investigate in that room. And of course I can't say what hospital it is, obviously, because of confidentiality, but I actually investigated in that room and did get some anomalous readings. I got some strange EVP readouts. Of course, with all the electrical stuff in there, that's not conclusive at all. But, you know, and other things have happened in there since then, in that room. I knew nurses that wouldn't go in there. They had things happen in that room, and they wouldn't go, but I didn't want to go in there. And I think finally the room was turned into a closet, into a supply room. They didn't put people back in it, the last I'd heard. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know that's what they were talking about, doing that. So that's kind of the two things that got me really into it. And I had also, you know, I'd heard footsteps and stuff like that. And when I was younger, I would know things. And Sherry, I'm sure you can appreciate that, you know, being, you know, the psychic end of it, even though I don't claim to be psychic by any means, sometimes I would know things were going to happen before they happened, and that was always something that was in my life too, but it doesn't happen as much anymore as it did. But I do tend to look at a lot of stuff in a scientific manner, and I'm skeptical myself. I've even debunked our own evidence, you know, because if it's, you know, if it's not right, we're going to call it. And we have a saying between us, if there's a doubt, you kick it out. We don't use it. We've debunked our own EVP. We've debunked our own photos. We think there's something there, but we want to be able to quantify it, what type of a G it actually is, and, you know, and work with it and see what we can find out. I do believe, and I'll get off for in a second and let Joe have a turn, but I do believe that a lot of it is going to depend on for the use of parapsychology and with psychic mediums, because there's a connection to all these things, and the connection is the life force, you know, because you're really talking about a disincarnate life force, and that to me is a very interesting thing. So that's kind of where I'm at. We look at everything from a scientific angle, and we debunk our own stuff as much as we can. You know, like I said, if we have any doubt about it, we won't use it. And any of our evidence is open to be looked at by anybody else. This is the only field I know of that has no peer review, because all the groups, most of them, and I won't say all because I don't know about all, but a lot of the groups won't share evidence with anybody else. Anything we got, if you want to listen to it, we'll send you the raw files. You can hear it and make your own mind up. We don't hide nothing. That's just not how we do it.
Well, sorry. When we started the Night Stalker originally, that was our whole goal behind it, was to create a community to kind of open lines of communication, share ideas, share evidence, because really – It's like I've said before, that when you're dealing with like medicine, one doctor thinks he gets a cure for something, he sends it to another doctor that looks over it and goes, hey, he might have something. Then he sends it to another doctor, and that doctor sends it to more doctors. And by the time you're done, they've been through so many hands that they know for certain either they have something or they don't. That's not the way it works with paranormal. Paranormal, they kind of close themselves off. We don't really share information. We don't really share our evidence or what we do or how we even do it. A lot of them will, well, yeah, I use this equipment, and if you want it, you can buy it from me. I'll build you one, but I won't tell you how I do it or how it's supposed to work or why, apparently, it works. You know, much like Michael, I didn't have a medical background, but my mother, she kind of was a very scientific person. She was an RN, and she got that kind of, there are things in this world you can see, you can hear, you can taste, you can touch. Those are the real things. And it started from a very young age that I was very analytical about everything. I had to know exactly what was what and how it worked and why it did what it did. Now, my actual professional background is computers. That's what I went to school for.
I build computers. I upgrade computers. I can do just about anything you want with them. I can take them. You can bring me bare pieces, and I can build you a complete system with the operating system, everything from the ground floor up. And that's really what I try to bring into the paranormal field, because when you're dealing with computers, there's a certain way everything works. It doesn't work if you don't do it that specific way. And with paranormal research, we have no clue how any of it works. So we're trying, or at least that's what me and Michael do. We're kind of the ones that shoot back and forth with the crazy theories and try to get the different technologies that are available and all of that, and try to bring some of the stuff the past in and just see if we can't find something that will consistently work. But that's what I've been trying to bring in is, you know, why is it that we can use a voice recorder and hear something in a room that's not there? I mean, what is it that that can allow this thing to electronically imprint itself on either a cassette tape that was, you know, a magnetic reel-to-reel, or now into the digital world of the voice recorders? You know, that's really what it is we do as far as our research. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of an allergy attack going on here.
I've done a fair amount of paranormal investigations, and I've captured some pretty eerie things on audio recorders that I can't explain. And I do think that there's something out there to the paranormal. I've captured things on video and stuff like that. So there is an element of mystery to it. What do you guys think about all these ghost shows that have become so popular? Do you think it does a disservice to the community out there? Because it seems like, you know, people watch the shows and then suddenly they go online, order some equipment, and the next thing you know, they're performing exorcisms at strangers' houses. And I say that as an example because I know somebody that pretty much just followed that to a T. So I was wondering what your opinion on shows and stuff.
Well, with me, honestly, I don't want to say I'm against them, but like you said, there has definitely been, I would say since early 2000s, a great surge in paranormal researchers. And a lot of them are like, oh yeah, I read Curious George once and watched Ghost Hunters. And so now I'm an expert. You know, and like you said, especially when you're dealing with people that deal with exorcisms and negative energies and this kind of thing, they're walking in a landmine-filled area. They don't know what it is they're going to hit. And a lot of them end very, very badly. And I think that kind of gives them a false sense of, well, hey, I mean, I saw these guys do it on TV. I mean, they used to be plumbers. How hard can it be? I can unclog a toilet, you know? So I don't want to see it. Like I said, I don't really want to go. I'm not totally against them, but I do think in a way it sort of lessened the effect of the people that actually did this, kind of cheapened the field. Because, like I said, you do have people that watch a season of Ghost Hunters, and all of a sudden, they're experts. They know everything. They watched it on TV. And you know, then you have the shows that actually fake their evidence. Because, no, let's face it, I mean, you've done paranormal research. How many hours of stuff have you watched where there has been absolutely nothing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, it's boring.
Nobody's going to watch that on TV, and you're not going to get any advertisers to pay for that. Because, evidence review can be horrible. It can be one of the worst parts of this. You know, granted, when you get that one little clip of something that is actually something, it refuels every bit of the energy you have. But until you hit it, you're just like, shoot me now. You know, so that they don't see that side of it. They don't understand
true,
that there
it
is
like
actual
as a psychic medium, you know, when you see, you know, whether it's Taylor Henry that's psychic or that medium, or Teresa Caputo with this Long Island medium, they shoot for, as an ex-makeup artist for 14 years, we used to shoot a commercial, 2.5-minute commercial. It would take us from somewhere between 7 days to 12 days to two and a half minute commercial. So you know that they take the best out of the whole week or whatever, shoot and takes and takes and retakes and retakes, and you're absolutely correct. It's just boring. You could be very boring, very, very, very much so.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's what is being aired.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, a standard investigation for me when I was very active in the field, we had usually 2 handheld cameras, and we were doing an investigation between 6 and 7 hours. So we had 2 handheld cameras. That right there, that's 14 hours of footage. We all carried our own voice recorders. Usually they were going at all times. That's another 14 hours of footage. Then we had 4 stationary night vision cameras. That's another 28 hours of footage. And you have to watch all of it. You know, there's no editing. There's no skipping ahead to the good part, because you don't know where the good parts are. You don't even know if there are good parts. I have been through plenty of investigations where I have sat and watched 36 hours of footage and been like, okay, well, yeah, there's nothing there. And also, I'm very skeptical in what I do. And like Michael said, we have always had the motto, you know, if there's doubt, throw it out. So if I hear a voice and I think, that could be somebody on the street, it's gone. If I see a shadow and think, well, that did kind of sound like there might have been a car in the area, it's gone. I will throw away 10 hours of footage to get 2 seconds. I don't care. If there is any doubt, if there's any logical explanation for this stuff happening, then it's gone. I go with the logical explanation. That's how I even got started in this. They kept telling me about this door that opens on its own. So I go through this door, and I was invited on an investigation because I was actually building a website for the group. And I went through that door, and I shut it behind me. And about 5 minutes later, one of the guys goes, hey, look at the camera. I look up, and the door's open. Of course, I'm sitting there going, no. I shut that door. So I went over that door for almost a solid hour. I went over every inch of it, seeing how everything lined up, until I found out that if you turn the knob about 1/4 inch too far, there was a piece of dried paint on it that kept the latch from coming out all the way, that allowed the door to drift open.
I have a similar story. I was doing an investigation in this guy's apartment, and you know, he was convinced his apartment was haunted, and that one of the claims was the bathroom door would open on itself. So it took me all of like 2 minutes to determine that there was a particular spot in the floor about 5 feet away from the bathroom door that when you stepped on it, it popped the bathroom door open.
That's just that little bit. Yeah, I've done that before, yeah. Too. That's actually one of the funniest things of the original Night Stalker show that we did, because we did live, like you guys did, because we were actually video. And I got a question. We were doing Q&A one time, and I got a question. Someone asked me, do you always find a ghost everywhere you investigate? And I said, yes, I do. I always find a ghost. Sometimes it's a dried piece of paint. Sometimes it's a loose floorboard. Sometimes it's a creaky water pipe. But I always find the ghost, just not always what we're expecting. You know, sometimes those ghosts have natural explanations. Like you said, you hit this board, it moves the door opens. You turn it too far, that piece of paint gets stuck, it doesn't latch completely. You know, that's the kind of stuff we have to go over as researchers. We have to make sure that stuff has all been eliminated. Before we put anything else out, we have to make sure everything logical has been gone over, has been tested, has been looked at, has been, you know, redone to see if we cannot duplicate the result ourselves. Because like you said, you know, if you walk by a board, you don't think about it. You hit the board 1,000 times, you walk past it. And it might, you might hit it in the wrong spot 999 of those 1,000 times. But that one time you're going to hit it and it's going to open. It's also, well, actually one of ghost hunters was the faucet to turn on. Well, that water pressure is always there. That little washer wears out. Your handles turn on their own. Nothing paranormal about that. Old plumbing. You fix the, you know, you fix the little washer, you're done. It's no more ghost.
Mm-hmm. I guess,
yeah,
it just
I
takes a little common sense.
I think, you know, as far as the, you know, as far as the TV shows and things we're talking about, they're fine. I mean, as long as they're for entertainment purposes, they're fine. They're not meant to be instructional. They're not meant to show somebody how to go out here and do an exorcism, you know. And at some point, even though, you know, they all say you never talk about religion and politics, the paranormal at some point runs headlong into two things. It runs into science and it runs into religion. When you go into a case of a negative entity, whether it's a you know, whatever you want to call it negative entity, call it demon or whatever you want to call it, you're going to run into the need to do something about it. And I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to mess with those things. I'm not trained for that. I don't claim to be trained for that. If I know something, I'll tell you what I know. If I don't know it, I'll say, I don't know. I'll find somebody that can help, but I'm not going to do that. You can't go running around here with holy water and whatever else and do your own off-the-cuff exorcism, because you can make things entirely worse for people and yourself. You know, you can be attached onto just as easy as anybody else. So I think that everybody's seeing all these shows and all of them have sort of, all of them have a, you know, an element of, oh, it's a demonic and this and that. You know, that to me is dangerous, in as much as it makes people think that it's something that anyone can handle, and it's not.
Yeah, and I think a lot, another thing that really comes in that had been taught from some of these shows was invoking. And that is a very, very bad idea. And this is coming, I've never done invoking. I've always been, like, very harshly against it. But I have ran into negative energy. I guess you would say, I don't really like to call them demonic, because I think the term demonic is used far, far too freely right now. Just about everything in the world is looked at as demonic anymore. But I was actually setting a camera up on an investigation, and I was hit. And I mean, I was hit hard. I'm over 6 feet tall. At that time was about 240 pounds. I'm a big guy. And it hit me hard enough to almost knock me off my feet. That takes a incredible amount of energy to be hit that hard. But on the back of my head, it just came down. And like I said, I saw stars. You would not provoke something that can do that.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And
that is a very bad thing. I would have run the other way. So, hey, we have a couple people that called in. Do you want to take any questions from the callers? I don't know if they're just listening or they have questions. Or...
No,
oh, sure.
I'd be glad to take questions.
All right. Well, we'll get to the person that's been on hold the longest here. Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Hi, good evening. My name is Hugh. I'm calling from the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. That's what they call it. I've had UFO paramormal and near-death experiences and extremely powerful synchronicities, and I wonder if in your research you ever get into that area, because that's coming into play more and more. Everybody has them, but they dismiss them as coincidence. But I'll give you an example of one. I read a book that was helpful to me in exposing a former federal government bureaucrat for fraud, and that actually triggered an investigation that eventually led to the resignation of the Speaker of the House in shame, Jim Wright, back in the 80s. I read two books that were very helpful to me. One was titled The KGB, The Eyes of Russia, written by Harry Rositsky, a high-level CIA operative, and I had spoken with him after reading his book, as well as the other author of another book. And he had retired from the CIA and said he was studying religion, spirituality, and theology, and funny how they do that when they retire from the CIA. Over the years, I lost touch, and in 2008, something triggered me just to see if he was still alive. He had passed. When I read his obituary, four synchronicities jumped right out at me. His name was Harry. My father's name was Harry. His wife's name was Barbara Helen. My mother-in-law's name was Helen. His daughter's name was Anne Elizabeth Hunt. My wife's name was Anne Elizabeth. My mother's maiden name was Hunt. Now, four synchronicities and one little obituary is pretty bizarre, but high-level CIA on top of that, that's off the charts.
Yes.
Okay. You want to take this one, Joe, or you want to take it?
You take it.
Okay, well, you're right. And it's possible, especially, and I happen to, and by the way, I'm not a physicist, even though I do study, I like to study physical, you know, the laws of physics and the theories and things like that. And I do believe in UFO phenomena, because first off, it's mathematically impossible that of all galaxies in the universe that there isn't life on some of them. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, the Drake equation itself says, you know, indicates that. But I think that, you know, I happen to believe in the many worlds interpretation, if you're familiar with that. That choice you've ever made is being played out, and that, you know, there are many universes alongside our own, and in each one of them, you're doing something different. You made a different choice. You went a different path. I also believe that, and Shuri might help me with this one, from a reincarnation standpoint, souls travel in groups, and that maybe it is possible that in some former incarnation that you and this author that you read his obituary of may have been connected. You may have been family in some way or another. I don't believe in coincidence in this field too much. I've seen too many things that didn't add up. So it's just a coincidence. It's probably not. Then there's so many things that go into the paranormal. And I think in some level they're all connected. You know, you have people that study like we do, that study hauntings and things like that. But, you know, you have people that study cryptozoology, and people that study the UFO phenomenon, and people that study the cow mutilations and things like that. And I believe on some level that all these things are connected. And so I don't know if I've answered your question the right way, or if I'm telling you what you wanted to know. But
well,
I do
what I'd like to do, I think you're saying some very interesting things. And what I'd like to do, I don't use email, but can I give you a Facebook page that somebody has on the internet for me that's helping me get information out? And on that Facebook page is a website that has all kinds of things, a lot of which will take you down the rabbit hole with me. I actually share common background with President Trump, but I'm not into the ego, and my last name has global recognition, and I have so many bizarre life experiences. So if you just put my name, it's Hugh, H-U-G-H. Charleston is spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy, and then after my name, Facebook profiles. There's four Facebook pages. The picture of me with my finger on a big marble ball or globe is the one to click on, and where it says about, there's a site, rootingoutcorruption.weebly.com, which is loaded with all kinds of interviews and documents, and I think you'll find that quite interesting. And if you can share it, I'm really looking for people to get a bead on who I am, just to help me understand all this stuff, because it's ongoing all the time. I've been dealing with it beautifully because of my faith, but there again, what we were talking about, religion is very true. People shouldn't be fooling around with certain things. And one of the things, just so you have it on the side, that you can pull up, because there's some miraculous photos on this website I'll give you. They're quite bizarre. It's the letters S, M like Michael, W, A dot org. And when you go onto that website, in the headings, look for where it says miraculous photos, and you'll understand what I mean. To this day, when they have vigils and people take pictures, at times unexplained images appear on the photographs when they develop, and some of them pretty interesting. But I thank you. Yes, you answered the question. I hope that my call can open up some other areas of interest for research. If you don't have the expertise, if you can make other people aware of who I am, because I'm bringing forth new paradigms that will actually transform economics, education, politics, religion, and more, and root out the corruption. That's the biggest problem mankind has had right along. And in the process, I'm looking to empower women and indigenous people.
Thank you for calling.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for calling.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and I'll continue listening. You had another caller, so thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for your question.
All right. You guys want to take another caller?
Sure.
Yeah, let them have it.
All right. Caller, you're live
hey.
On Paranormal Horizons. Hey.
Right on. What's going on, guys?
Hey, how
hey,
are
you?
Hey,
man. Microphone, so you can hear me a little better. Yeah, this is a long-time listener, seldom caller. Every once in a while from up here in Palmer, Alaska. And very interesting.
Hey, you're in my
neck
of the woods.
Oh, where are you at?
Northwest British Columbia.
Oh, right on, right on. Yes, I remember coming through there.
Yeah, we're a couple hundred kilometers from the Alaska border.
Right on. Are you somewhere near Fort Nelson or
pretty close. I'm in the Terrace, Kitimat area. It's
okay.
I guess the turnoff to was it Hyder, Alaska, is at Kitwanga. That's where the highway comes
from. Yeah. Yeah,
I take the Alcan
up through Fort Nelson, Liard
yeah.
Hot Springs, Whitehorse, and then into the Yukon, of course, and then back over through into Tok, Glen Allen, down that way. But anywho, yeah, right on, man. Beautiful country. Not a good place to break down out in the middle of nowhere, though, which I did on the way out
no,
here the first time.
No, it is not.
Yeah, 250 miles away from civilization at a closed-down hot spring, which was great because I had plenty of hot water and lots of wildlife around me, so it was quite the experience. And the northern lights are phenomenal, just phenomenal up here. Just, it's wow. But anywho, I was listening to, I listen to a lot of the blog talks. Usually I just dial in and listen. And then if it's something interesting, sparks my curiosity self of mine, I'm always like, wow, that's cool. So, and if Jason and Sherry give me a chance to speak my few, you know, questions or two cents, then I always do. The one thing I really got really good at of tonight's blog talk is that not all paranormal events are exactly that, and not all events are paranormal. So and I totally understand that and believe that, because we psych ourselves up so much to think that you want something to be there that you make it up to be there or to be part of it. And then there's times where you don't think anything's going to happen, and then when you least expect it, it's all over you, and you don't know what to do about it. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah, and that was really cool to hear someone else actually express that as well. shit, I could take a handful of blotter or, you know, six or seven mushrooms or whatever and see shit all day long, you know. That doesn't mean it was actually there. But then again, it could have been. I don't know, you know, because
yeah.
I was under some type of hallucinogenic, narcotic, or whatever, some sort. But then again, if I put myself in a situation where I actually want something to be there, or, you know, I'm investigating something and I'm feeling all these weird things, again, that could be just my sympathetic / parasympathetic nerve fibers making this me believe that it's real when it's actually not. How do you guys normally discern the difference between the two? How do you, like Jason was saying, I stepped on a board, doors open, you know? Or how do you actually know or discern? Because I work in the medical field, too, and I see dead people. I mean, some of them, most of them alive, but most of them where they just, they didn't make it, you know? I mean, they're dead. They're toe tag dead. And it always intrigues me to see an empty shell, but where does the rest of it, you know, how do you know? Like, especially in a hospital setting. We have a lot of dead people that, you know, hospitals are full of.
Yeah.
You can get this one or you want to take it?
Well, I can maybe even both of us because, I mean, for me personally, whenever I have something that happens, either I've recorded or it's a personal experience, for me, it's just repetition. I try to repeat everything that I did over again, like with the door opening or something like that. That's all really there is just a repetition of trying to recreate the event. Now, obviously, if I've done everything that I can to make this event happen again and it doesn't, there has to be a contributing factor to it. Now, whether that contributing factor is a intelligent spirit, energy, or, you know, what, that is where, as researchers, that's what we're trying to figure out. But that's simply all it is. You've got to sit down and eliminate all other possibilities. And whatever you're left with, even if it's something that should be impossible, it's got to be something that is considered. I don't know if you want to add something to it, Michael, or...
Yeah, I'll throw a little bit in there. You covered most of it, really. But, you know, especially, you know, when you think about, and I'm sure if you watch the ghost shows on TV, you know, where they investigate things. I don't know if you investigate yourself or not. But, you know, things like electromagnetic fields, you go into a high EM field, and basically you're short-circuiting your brain. You know, because your whole body is electromagnetic. Your body produces its own energy. And when you go into an area where there's a high electromagnetic field, that field is affecting your brain, affecting, you know, the sodium, potassium gating in your body where the ions are changing and creating charge, you know, and making things work. It can cause hallucinations, it can cause nosebleeds, it can cause psychosis. The list of things from high EMF, the symptoms are like a page and a half long, you know. So that's just one of the things that can make you think that there's something going on, because it is actually happening. Your brain is seeing it. You know, it's not...
Man, I can attest to that firsthand.
It's not a physical thing that, you know, it's actually there. You could touch it, but your brain is perceiving it to be there. You know, your senses, your eyes are seeing it. Your ears are hearing it because your brain is being bombarded by electromagnetic field. So that's just one of the things that can happen. And so, you know, all those things have to be taken into account. That's why when you do an EMF sweep at a house or a location or something, you know, you're doing it to rule out basically really high spikes from equipment or an air conditioning unit or a breaker box or whatever. you know, and it really, it gets me when they go, you see them on TV and they say, okay, we'll go lights out. So they flip off the light switch. Guess what? That doesn't turn the power off. There's still current running through the box and the lines. If you don't believe me, turn the switch off on the wall and take a magnet, and it will stick to a little plastic plate around the outlet. It'll stick because there's still current flowing through the wire. There's still a field. So that's just one of the things that can cause an issue for you. And being as someone that's worked in hospitals and seen things, I know it can be really, you know, it can be freaky because, you know, you've got a living person that all of a sudden isn't living. You know, something left them. The spark of life left them. And where did it go? Did it go anywhere? How did it work? And to be totally honest, we don't know that. I think that that's what we're looking for. We want to quantify the spark of life that makes things work, and we can't quantify that in any way that is a lab repeatable in a scientific way, because science wants repeatable, testable outcome the same every time, and we can't do that. We can't say, well, why does this EVP happen right here at this point? But we don't know, because it won't happen here at this point again. Or why did this EMF spike right here at this point when it shouldn't have? We don't know that because it didn't do it again. So I hope that I answered your question. I didn't mean to go off on too much of a tangent. But
no, that's good. I'm totally following you and tracking you on that. But what makes it so that it can actually, like you're saying, knock a person out or down? Like you said, you're a large person, and I guess there was an apparition of some sort, and literally took you off.
Yeah, some kind of energy.
Well, yeah.
We have no idea, honestly. And anyone who tells you they do, they're lying. You know, that is what we do. That's why we're researching this, because there's, you know, I would love to be able to tell you, okay, it was this, but honestly, I don't know. I know I was the only one on that floor of the house. This was a two-story house, and I was the only one on that floor. And something hit me in the back of the head and left a red handprint. But as far as what it was, how it was that it made something invisible solid enough to hit me, we honestly have no idea. That is something that has baffled me. Because I've heard people talking about it, and it's one of those things there where until it happens to you, you don't totally believe it, because you know it's like an EVP that you record. You know, you hear me right now because my vocal cords have air going over them, vibrating, make the sound that's being picked up by this microphone. Well, they don't, at least not that we can see. Yet this thing, whatever it is, if it's a spirit, a demon, a negative entity, a interdimensional being, a alien in a cloaked suit, I don't know. But whatever it was, made itself solid enough to actually physically contact me. And that's the best answer that I can give, because there's just no definitive answer to that.
And that's awesome, because without that answer, we wouldn't have this Blog Talk Radio speaking about the paranormal stuff that happens in the world. So, touche.
The one thing I can add to that is, don't put yourself in a box. Don't think inside the box. Don't think just because this is how it's done or investigated, or this is the way it's always been done, is the way we have to do it now. Think of something different. I've always said, the best tool that you've got to investigate anything is your brain. Come up with something different. The whole field is theoretical anyway. There's no set rules in this field because we don't know what we're studying. It's like the theoretical physics. They've proved many things to be correct. But at one time, the things that were proven correct today you know, hundreds of years ago, you'd have been locked up for heresy, for thinking what they thought. The things were eventually proven to be correct. So don't put yourself into a box. Think outside the box. Have different ideas. Try something new. Try something different. Even if it's something somebody else has tried, try it for yourself. Get your own results. Get your own data, you know. And then let somebody else look at your data. So this is what I did, and this is what I got. Now you do what I did and see what you get. If the data correlates, then you might have something. But you're never going to know that until you share it. You know, it can't be, I've got the data, but I'm not going to tell anybody, because it needs to be retested. And so think outside the box. Don't think in a box. That's the main thing I can, if anything at all that I could let people come off with, would be that.
If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have this Blog Talk Radio about the paranormal. And it's one thing I love to do is take my son in the afternoons if I can and listen to you guys enlighten not only myself but the other people that are listening about the awesome things that are happening and the awesome things that could happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for your question. That was a good one.
I want to thank you for calling in. Yeah, thanks for calling in and calling again next week.
Right on. Well, hey, Sherry, Jason, everyone, the Night Stalkers there, appreciate it so much. You folks have a great evening, and winter's coming.
Yes, and good to hear from you. We miss you.
I miss you guys,
absolutely,
too.
Seriously, we were wondering what's been happening with you.
Year number four in Alaska, coming up on winter number four, so last one was pretty brutal. Well, hopefully this one isn't going to be as harsh. Well, we'll see. I got a freezer full of salmon. I've been out catching. I haven't been fishing, but I sure as hell been catching.
All righty. Well, hey, thanks for calling in.
All right. Take care, brother.
And stay away from that HARP facility, you know, that high altitude atmospheric, whatever it's called, that beams microwaves or whatever into the atmosphere. Talk about frying your brain.
Yeah.
So I had a question. I had an experience about maybe 6 or 7 months ago. I work in a medical laboratory, and I work late at night, and I was driving home late at night, and this is, you know, in the city, and I get to this stoplight, and I see this cloud, like maybe 4 foot high, this dark mass cross the road. And now, mind you, this is, you know, 25 feet in front of me, and I'm looking at it, and it dissipates. But when I saw it, I couldn't see through it, and I had to turn because the light turned green, and I wanted to turn around and kind of investigate, but I couldn't. Does that sound like that could be like a shadow figure? There's nothing in that area that I would think that would create like smoke. It was really weird.
The only experience I've had with shadow people, they were very solid and very man-formed. Well, that was the one I was looking at. This is actually on my first investigation. Was peeking around a tree at me, and I thought it was a person from a neighboring area that had, you know, were out in. It was a farm. Had been at the time a farm. It had multiple people of the same family living on it, and I was talking to the person who owned the part we were on, and was like, because she had told me, my uncle might shoot you if he doesn't know who you are. So my first thought is, you know, okay, this is her uncle, and I'm starting to duck. And this thing keeps peeking around a tree at me. And like I said, it was very much a solid humanoid form.
Ooh.
That's still to date has been really my only experience with shadow people. But, there was nothing really smoky to him. He was very clearly, because like I said, I assumed it was a person, and I'm yelling at him, you know, hey, well, we're here with her, you know, we're the ghost people she told you about, you know, please don't shoot me. And when he didn't answer, then I assumed it was somebody else maybe, you know, playing a prank on us. But no, the only thing that was ever whiskey about it is after a while, I finally got a little tired of it, still thinking it was a prank, and so I went in to confront it. And I was maybe within 10 feet of it, and it ran directly across in front of me. And I was in probably knee-high brush. It had garbage in it. It had broken limbs, fallen leaves, everything. And this thing ran within 10 feet of me. It ran in front of me, and it did not make a sound. It was completely dead quiet. And that froze me dead in my tracks. Because there's no way a solid human being can move through what I was moving through without making a sound. I sounded like a herd of elephants with tap dancing shoes on. So, you know, this thing could not move without making some kind of noise or moving a branch or something.
Wow.
I had never, it was like, I couldn't even see through it. It was just really weird. I'd never seen anything like that. It wasn't just like, you know, a firecracker with a puff of smoke. It was nothing like that. It was like crossing the street, and then it got like halfway. It just disappeared. It was really strange. But I'm looking at the time. We only have a couple minutes left, so I want to give you an opportunity to let everybody know so that they can find your podcast. And anyway, if people have questions and want to contact you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, if you want to contact us, the easiest way is either to go through Facebook for Paranormal Night Stalker or on Twitter. Both of them, I have them coming to my phone, so both of them I get your messages or anything. On Twitter, we are at Night Stalker Pod. To find the show, we actually do. It's going to be the easiest way is to go to tinyurl.com/Night Stalker Pod. We are on Blog Talk Radio as well now. We just recently moved over to Blog Talk from another place, and we're putting out new episodes, trying to put them out every Thursday, but apparently iTunes and things are on a delay, so they actually come out pretty much overnight Thursday into Friday morning. But either Thursday or Friday, we'll have a new episode out every week, and we cover everything. And, of course, you know, if there are any questions about anything, we will. If we can't give you the answer, we'll research it or direct you to someone who can. We very much, you know, try to share any information we get. Like, you know, this coming week, actually, we're doing something also a little bit differently. If you don't mind putting a little plug in here real quick. Along with the podcast we're doing, we're going to be going over two different new technology from the phone apps that are, one is a spirit box and one is an EMF detector. And we're actually going to be putting out a bonus podcast, I guess you'd say, with it. That is going to be a 15-minute untouched spirit box session. And we're actually asking anyone who gets it, you know, go over yourself, tell us what you hear in it, tell us if you hear anything at all. I've already analyzed it. I know what I think is there. If you want to download from Blog Talk Radio, if you want to download the bonus, and it will be an actual MP3 form that you can put through an audio editor, you can do actual analyzing this yourselves, and just let us know what you hear. This is going to be untouched. It's not going to be clean or filtered or anything at all done to it. So this is exactly as you're hearing the recording, is exactly how it was. Nothing has been done on it. And that's the kind of stuff we're trying to do, to kind of get everybody involved and just get everybody thinking. That is the biggest thing going to help any of this, is if we just get together, share ideas, no matter how crazy it sounds. You know, let's face it, they tried to lock Galileo up when he said the Earth revolved around the sun. I mean, you know, the craziest ideas of the past are now what we look at as scientific fact. So anything that you think, anything that you have an idea of how something may work, let us know. Like I said, excuse me again, sorry about that. Twitter is Night Stalker Pod, Facebook, Google+, Paranormal Night Stalker. We are out there everywhere. We're available on Google Play, iTunes, and of course Blog Talk Radio.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you both for taking the time to come on, and if you ever need a guest, I have some really crazy UFO experiences that I thought of maybe throw it out there if you guys need a guest sometime. But again, I want to thank you guys
for
getting
in touch with you then.
Calling in. Yeah, dude, it's really, really out there. Like there was evidence left behind and everything. Just craziness. But yeah, get in touch with me.
Oh, wow.
Through Sherry, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it. And but with that, we got to end the show. I want to thank you both for coming on, and yeah, just thanks a lot. And it's nice again to talk to somebody that approaches things from more of a scientific perspective. And do you have any other questions, Sherry?
No, I don't. Just love you guys, and thank you for spending the time to come on our show.
Well, thank you for having us.
Well, I want to thank you both for having us on here.
Awesome.
Hey, it's great. It's a win-win situation. Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Hey, so next week we're going to have Karen Anderson. She's actually a very personal. She's actually one of my mentors. She's a personal friend of mine. She's an animal communicator. And she just released her second or third book. She's coming out of the upper crest of Washington. So we're going to have her as a guest. It's been a while. It's been many, many months, and haven't talked to her. But we're going to have her next Sunday. She's the one that wrote about Cecil, the lion that got killed. Down in Africa somewhere. She was on Time magazine, right in the front of Time. She channeled the lion after he got shot. So. Yeah, I was in the front page of Time magazine. We're going to have her as a guest for an hour next week. So I'm looking forward to that. And anything else, Jason?
No, I think we'll call it. I'm going to do things a little bit differently tonight since we axed our intro. I think I'd take us out with a little commercial for our friend Bill Bean. And with that, again, I want to thank Night Stalkers for calling in, and I'm going to mute everybody, play the commercial, and hope everybody has a great week, and we'll see you next week, Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. Good night, everyone.
Good night, and listen to our radio station next Thursday. Be rebroadcasted at KNCP and KITC-FM. Take care. Peace.
Hi, this is Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, star of House of the Dead, author of Dark Force. For more info and updates, please visit www.billjbean.com. And if anyone out there is in need of spiritual assistance, I'll stand for you.